Fresh Takes. Get your fresh takes. Here we got Tom, DMT Chatfield, also nerdier than you are, Chatfield. And Don T, don't be a cunt, Johnson.
Oh, you messed it up. What the heck? It's a me, a Mario.
Don, it's a me, a cunt, Johnson.
We're still working on it.
Yeah, it's work in progress.
It's fucking diabolical.
I was going to just roll D&D dice. We are here right before D&D to talk to the boys. We're doing our D&D episode today. So we are here at the house of Thomas Chatfield. Thank you for hosting.
Absolutely.
And now we're here to talk to the boys. So let's get to it. Who wants to do the honors?
I want to say I called it. I don't know. I mean, you guys can hear me chatting about the boys, but I'm like, it's going to end.
Cue the music.
Welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, because Pikachu, we don't evolve.
We just level up.
Exactly. Thank you, Don. It's a me, a Mario Johnson. Tom, hello. Hello. All right, we're here to talk boys. And I apologize, I have nothing here. I have nothing in front of me. I have, no outlines for this. We're just talking fresh.
I'm sure half the script didn't really have an outline.
We're just winging it.
Yeah.
The boys episode. Yep. I feel back to the last three episodes with Brandon. I've just been breaking it down storyline by storyline, and it's actually really, really nice, but it takes me a while to do it. Taking each storyline. And I wanted to do that for the Acolyte.
There's no storyline for the Acolyte. How'd you do that?
That's why I did it.
Yeah. The boys, I was going to say, how'd you do that many storylines in one podcast? That's impressive.
It gets long. It gets really, really long.
Yeah. Would you start with one character and you go through the other 35?
So this is going to be more like not so much a breakdown of last week's episode, the finale. This is more just our thoughts of the boys season 4, what we think of season 5 moving forward. And yeah, but let's talk a little bit ourselves first, and we'll get into it. What have we been nerding out on lately?
Nerding golf? Does that count?
I mean, it's a nerd.
No,
that counts.
It's like a different version of nerd. It's like whatever sporting is called.
Yes, it's a sporting nerd.
You're so hard jocking?
Yeah, jocking for the golf game. As far as nerding, I'd say Rocket League, I guess.
Ooh,
my hand-eye coordination on the Rocket League stuff. I'm getting pretty good.
Nice.
I'm a high flyer. People hate me. And
they don't like high flyers? Or
no, because you're too good. And they
rage quit?
Rage quit all the time, so you play the game for 2 minutes. They always have, oh, I'm out.
I'm not a huge multiplayer game. I never really got into playing with random people online.
But I did get NCAA 25.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to take UAB to the top all over again. It's going to happen. The Dragons, that's usually what I use.
Is that Alabama and Birmingham? Right?
I honestly have no idea. All I knew is their logo was a dragon. They're always rated 1 star. So it's like, perfect.
I mean, they do have a pretty cool logo.
I mean, I was fourth grade when I first did it, so, dragons were what you liked.
We need Thirst Trap Ernie here to talk NCAA college football with you. He's been posting a lot of memes about it.
I think that's his new, I think that should be his new name here.
Thirst Trap?
Ernie's Thirst Trap Gardener.
He is very much a Thirst Trap.
Oh, man.
I think every time you post something with his shirt off, I just send him a message dude, cover up. You're getting wives after you.
You get all the neighbors' husbands mad at you.
You gotta strut what you got, and you got it.
I don't disagree.
NCAA 25.
I think it's more just the way. We went to a beach day, and we had a picture of us just right next to each other, and I'm just damn, all right, there goes my self-confidence just a little bit. I have a full beer gut belly going on, and he's just ripped. I'm good for him.
One of you guys are married, so.
I mean, yeah.
He's still trying to impress the ladies.
That's fair.
He's still trying the swoon game.
I will say, anytime I get ripped, when I do get in shape, it's after a breakup.
When he does get in shape, y'all.
I have to ADHD my brain.
Hasn't happened yet.
It's happened several times. After a breakup.
Yeah, that's true.
If I
everyone goes back to the gym. Anyway.
Sorry, random phone call right away. Friend Isaac, shout out to him. He always calls me during a podcast. The third time in a row in the last 2 weeks. All right, Tom.
What have I been nerding out on? Mm-hmm. Not a lot, man. Just because I've been dealing with house stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple trees fall on my house here, so that happened last weekend.
And
so.
He's hosting, ladies and gentlemen.
And it actually looks surprisingly nice, though. We got work pretty much all day Friday and all day Saturday and got everything cleaned up, so just waiting on insurance adjusters and, fun stuff. So I really have not had much of a chance. It's been come home from work, be ridiculously exhausted from work, and then go, saw some trees for a couple hours, and I think it's pretty much consumed my life the last week.
I don't really have anything new. I think the biggest or the newest thing that I've been working on is, watching is my adventures with Superman with our boy Jack Quaid, the actor for Huey Campbell, voices Superman. It actually works out really well.
Did it?
Yeah, like it's a really good show. It reminds me of Young Justice in a way, which is like storytelling wise.
Yep.
Animation is gorgeous. The intro scene reminds me of an anime. And it's nice to see like a Superman story that's just like the beginning of a Superman story, and then told from beginning to wherever they lead to. But there's the other villains that are just a little bit different. Metello is not like one villain, it's just a robotic suit.
Okay.
So he had to fight a bunch of Metellos, and the entire time I was like,
beep boop.
They actually, they are close to Don't Evolve Me colors.
Are they?
It's like they have like a bluish tint on them, and then they have like the middle, it's not like green, it's like a mixture of like yellow and green.
And a Vikings purple background?
Oh, that's studio.
Oh,
yeah,
that still counts. Just wondering if the robots look the same.
Yeah. So, other than that...
Sorry, inside jokes.
Not a whole lot. I don't have much for news. Other than that, Jack Quaid did try to be Superman in the James Gunn DC.
Yeah.
How could that...
Unless he put on, 40 pounds of muscle, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, he's... I would have liked to see him do it, but yeah, it's a very, weaker Superman. But who's the guy who did... Superman and Lois. His name's Tyler something. He was
But he's super tall. I don't think Jack Quaid's that tall. So he wasn't really that small. Superman and Lois?
He's at least 6 foot, right?
6'3" or something like that?
Isn't Henry Cavill not that big? He's only 6 foot, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only 6 foot, but he's jacked.
He's
the guy that played the one in Lois, he was lean, pretty lean for a tall dude.
I think about him,
Jack Quaid is 6'1".
Yeah.
Really?
Not bad.
Alright.
I think he would have been fine with
it. He just looks thin. Maybe because I see him in The Boys and I'm like, nerd. Nerd.
Alright, other news. Because I did do some research for this. I just didn't put it in an outline. Alright, so Kevin Feige was talking about Avengers 5 and Avengers 6, which is really crazy to think that we're that far into Avengers. And he's just talking about how not every character from Phase 4 and Phase 5 are going to be in these movies. It's going to be a
slim
very
it up a little
crew.
Bit, right? Good.
Well, he's like, you can't have 100,000 characters in it.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, that's why I thought when they started introducing these smaller characters anyway, you'd have to get rid of them.
Mm.
You can't keep that many characters alive. I mean, not alive, but involved in the story. Maybe one quick cameo here and there would be kind of fun, but
yeah.
I almost thought this last, that's what I didn't like about the last, Phase 4 and 5. They kind of introduced too many small characters. So I was like, oh, they're not going to be anything.
Yeah,
could have focused up a little more on character development, but I like the idea. Then if that's where it goes,
the quantity of characters rather than the quality of characters.
Yeah, I wanted quality characters. We got some quantity, which was okay. It built a world, but I like the character development stuff.
All right,
focus it.
Skeleton Crew. The first picture has been released after the Acolyte. They are now. And it's interesting.
Who's writing it?
I mean, that's a big question.
That's the question.
I know, who is it? Not Jude Law? I think he was part of it. I could be wrong. I think it's Jude Law that's one of the main actors.
All right, I'll take that.
But, I look at the picture, I'm like, these are mostly kids, an elephant, and a robot. I don't know. As long as it's, good, I don't really care what the story is. If it's, a worthy story of being told, and it's actually, a well-written story. Because, I think of Andor. That's not a story I was asking for.
Yeah.
And it took me, 9 months.
Well, it's a story you're asking for now. right now.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's really good. Tom, it's a worthy story to watch. Or show to watch.
Even if, is it a worthy show to watch?
Andor, yeah.
Oh, Andor? Yeah, I've never watched it yet, but I don't know. I feel like all the Star Wars have been trash lately.
No, this is like... Andor's like...
He clearly hasn't seen Andor, folks.
No, okay. But everything else. Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Have you watched Rogue One?
Acolyte. Yeah, I'd watch Rogue One.
What'd you think about Rogue One?
I liked it.
It's the same writer for Rogue One who's the showrunner of Andor, and it's following Cassian Andor, who was in the show.
Sure.
And I will say this, after watching Andor, Rogue One is like actually a lot better because you understand at least that character more.
Sure. So it's a prequel to Rogue One?
Yeah. Basically. I will say this about Andor. It's almost like so well written, so just like the quality of it's so good that it's almost too good to be Star Wars. Mm. Like it doesn't feel like Star Wars because it's actually like a very well written show.
It's put together very well. Like they, yeah. I don't know. Well, and it wasn't very much for lightsabers at all, to be fair. Was there even a lightsaber in there?
No.
I didn't think there was one.
It's barely a Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's barely a Star Wars story. Like, you really could just say it's a futuristic sci-fi story. Anyway, we're getting way too far ahead. Let's get into our main topic. The Boys. Season 4. We'll mostly talk about the finale, but we'll talk about The Boys in general. What was your guys' thoughts on this season?
The last four episodes really changed around a lot too. I remember doing the review of the first one and how it was just like trauma porn the entire thing and just going on everybody's like deep dark secrets and feelings and stuff like that. But then it got wild the last four episodes, like flying V sheep and everyone getting lasered in the face by Homelander and it was crazy. Hit a little too real to home too. I love the season 8 disclaimer. Did you guys see that when you watched
it? Oh, I didn't know.
Where it was like, okay, so when it was after Trump got shot at.
Yeah.
And it was like basically to the point where it was saying like, you know, due to recent events, blah, 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 you know, this, you know, they basically were like apologizing that it was so similar.
Yeah.
And they're like, it has no bearing or, you know, anything like this was written prior to any current events. It has nothing to do with current events. It just literally happened to be this coincidence. And I was like, that kind of shows you that, like, how spot on they are with, how on the nose their references are to everything.
Did you see my TikTok about, because I referenced Trump in The Boys?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the same thought. I was just like, you know what? It's very close. Very, very close to the same. And then even on TikTok, I was like, you know, season one's like, oh, this is fresh. This is like what superheroes would be like in our world. But it's like, it felt more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like now it feels like very 1v1. Like it seems like they're really just like, and Firecracker is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Homelander is very much Trump. Like they're very similar comparisons. Whereas before it's like, oh, it's based off this, it's based off this. Now it's very 1v1. And I remember just seeing the title Assassination Run, like, all right, cool, we're going to get into more like this world's fantasy, right? And then Donald Trump gets shot, and it's like,
both deal with foiled assassination attempts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was crazy. But yeah, I read that, and I was like, huh.
Wait a second. I just realized something. They did. Okay, so I made a prediction last week that they were going to change the name of this episode.
Did they?
They did. They just named it Season 4 Finale.
They changed it from Assassination?
Yeah, it was Assassination Run, the Season 4 Finale, because I remember seeing it and being like, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, the writers were probably smart to do that. They don't want that kind of fire. They don't want that fire on them.
Well, it also goes to show, as far as like a writing standpoint go, if they're pulling from real ideas, how something like that can happen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a similar concept. It's just writing from reality.
Yeah, eerily on the nose.
Yeah. It was pretty on the nose whole season, though.
Right, so exactly.
They pretty much nailed it.
I wish Tony was, like, coming. Like, the news that he dropped on us before we were recording, I wish he was here now to drop it, because it would have been perfect. Because Joe Biden just dropped out.
Sleepy Joe's, he passed the torch. He's officially out of the race.
Did you hear that?
What, really?
Yeah.
He's endorsed Kamala Harris.
Crazy.
Yeah. So
only can get rid of the other senile old guy.
We could talk some of politics because the boys.
Yeah, the boys is all about politics. Anyways, digressing.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I don't know. The final episode was great. It was action packed. I was like not expecting a lot of those twists.
So
left you on a cliffhanger. That was my only downside. I was like, man, this sucks.
We didn't talk about the boys, but it reached my final prediction at the very end. Like the last cutscene and everything, things like that. So I was predicting something somewhat similar.
Did you watch Supernatural at all?
Yeah, I watched Supernatural.
Did you get the reference at the end of the show? Did you get that Easter egg?
You have to tell it to me.
Okay, so you know how Supernatural usually ends? Either their season finale or like the episode. It's usually the Winchester boys in their really nice black vehicle, muscular car.
Yep.
And they drive down the road and then shows...
I figured out what that car is, but I'll allow it.
My apologies. Is it an Apollo?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway. Yep. Continue on. Anybody put your road off?
Maybe I shouldn't have the Apollo next on the wall then of the studio.
Maybe not.
Are you talking about the butcher? Yeah,
the butcher reference. Because he like left and it shows Eric Kripke is like down a country road. I'm like, that is, oh my.
They're taking off. Yeah, like that.
Like this is very much the Supernatural season finale. Like this.
Well, it's very supernaturally. It's just like a rated R Supernatural. Have you ever thought Supernatural can be rated R? I mean, you definitely got that feeling. Maybe that's just me though. From it, like they had some blood Supernatural, but very minimal kind of style.
Can we get a Supernatural Super Edition like they do for animes?
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying like that would be something cool. I think Brandon would agree.
I'd watch Supernatural if it was a hard R.
I would say
a real hard R. I would definitely get into that.
It's a good show. It's like One Piece where it's like super long, but it's like it feels unnecessarily long. Right.
Yeah,
they went
a little too long. But
I want heads popping and gratuitous nudity for no reason whatsoever.
Hey, yeah, entertaining. I will say that final episode was still pretty good. I like it.
Since we're not being so strict when we're doing this, what's something that you remember? Like, what's a scene that's in your mind that you're just like, damn?
The whole season or last episode?
Both. Let's say both. Okay. What's something that you remember?
The season finale is Newman getting ripped apart.
Yeah.
Just absolutely shredded by Tentacle Monster, Butcher. Mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, that happens.
Yeah, it was...
And then from the series, Flying V Sheep. Just mutant flying V Sheep that are man eating. It stuck in my mind because it was so ridiculous.
I'm going to say that. The Homelander episode where it becomes like the Joker in the bottom.
That's what I remember the most.
That's how you create a madman, right there.
I will say, Newman getting shot on camera is like pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It was just. Yeah. I'm kind of like blanking on other things. Of like what I think of, because I think of just about a lot.
What was your most forgettable moment, though?
I don't know. I forgot it. Actually, my answer is Huey. And
your worst favorite moment?
Oh,
just like that whole like I enjoyed it, but also like when you think about like the actual implications of like the trauma that he had to go through, and it maybe leads to something we could talk about too, because I talked about it with Brandon extensively, but I didn't talk to you guys because there was controversy after that episode, and it went away after like 4 days. People stopped.
What was the big trauma or a big controversy?
So Huey the character, right? He just lost his dad in a very dramatic fashion, probably very trauma induced. On top of the fact that he probably has PTSD from everything else, right? And then the very next episode, he has to dress up as Webweaver. And then go into Tech Night.
Yeah, go to BDSM Club.
Yeah. Yep. And essentially, like, in his perspective, he's essentially getting raped there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And especially towards the end, where it was literally a rape scene, but it's like more horrifying than ever, you making your own hole. Getting saved, you're like, he just lost his dad, right? Now he has to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next episode, you know, he recovers. They didn't really talk too much about the emotion. I don't think there was enough time in the season for that to happen. But then Starlight gets replaced.
Oh, yeah.
And then he essentially gets raped again.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think Huey's going to snap one day. I think next season, we're going to see Huey break.
I can see two routes. Either he breaks or he does the hero moment. Because he had that last. And I kind of feel bad for him because he had this hero moment. He's going to bring Newman in. They're going to work together. And then dead.
Crushed it.
So yeah, I just want to know your guys' thoughts on like the treatment of Huey this season.
I mean, you feel like he's always been the punching bag.
Yeah,
Huey's been the punching bag since the beginning, so it makes a lot of sense. That's why I said he's going to get the humor, one of the humor moments at the end. He has to. I mean, that's how they started the story, was him and his girlfriend who's standing there, and A-Train just runs right through his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's pretty much like I think the long growth story is a Huey arc of having all this shit happen, and at the end of the day, Huey does something.
Can I rant about his arc for a little bit? A good rant, not like the act.
Oh yeah, you can rant about his arc a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Because
if you're a podcast,
yeah, you do whatever you want.
I want to be a little devil advocate to the point that I talked about how like Huey didn't deserve all this shit. Because I was thinking about this, and I feel like he does deserve it. Because one, right, he didn't deserve just being jumped into it, but he made the choices to be where he is.
Yeah, definitely.
He chose to be part of the boys. Season three. He's almighty, right? He's leading the boys. He's working with Newman. He is, you know, a celebrity in his own right. He's this huge person. But what happens? He doesn't feel big enough. He wants to be the hero, so he takes Temp V. And essentially just kind of becomes a jackass this season, or that season.
Yep.
And, you know, towards the end, he had to dip out in the finale because he couldn't take Temp V, and he knew that it was, you know, bad for him. Like, he was a jackass, and I feel like season four is kind of just his punishment of a character, right? He's health-wise going down, him and Sarlay are... So, him taking punishment this season, I don't think it's necessarily, like, I would say deserved, but, like, he does deserve some type of consequence. I do think the writer should have been more aware, because, like, he's the main character. Everybody sees themselves as Huey. So like, if you put Huey through shit, you're putting the audience through shit too.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that awareness was there.
I think it did fit with the overall theme of just trauma, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, again, experiencing trauma in every kind, and, you know,
yeah,
and what it does to a person.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of the Frenchie Kimiko storyline?
I'm gonna say you were wrong. First off,
yeah.
First off, I'm going to say you were wrong, Jake, because they're totally hooking up now.
They are, I will say they are 80-90% likely to hook up.
If they don't now.
We argued this before.
They're going to mess it up.
Before the episode. Technically, they haven't hooked up yet.
I don't know. I feel like the French flag with the little smiley heart emoji kind of indicated to Starlight that, yeah, we banged. Yeah, he's like, hey, girly, look.
They might have. If we did an actual bet, I would fight you harder on this. Right now, I'd say yeah, they're probably technically officially a couple.
But yeah, it's kind of devastating that the moment that they start their actual relationship, Frenchie gets taken away along with everybody else.
Everybody that's
not a superhero.
I think that was interesting.
Yeah, that they let Starlight free and they left Kimiko there, and everybody that was soup they let stay free.
I don't get that. Complex.
Magneto.
And I'm sure there'll be more to explain later on, but I'm just like, did they take all superheroes, or is it just like, are all the non-superheroes, or is it all the non-superheroes they don't agree with?
Well, it's just like Magneto complex, right? Kind of idea.
Explain.
You know, Magneto's about, we are more powerful than normal human race.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you take all the humans, like, have them bow down to you. If someone else is a superhero, it's kind of... Magneto wouldn't care. You do whatever you want to do because you're a hero.
I've never heard that comparison before. Magneto,
I mean,
and
Homelander reminds me a lot of the Magneto, the way they're putting together.
Yeah.
He's got a Magneto style of arc because he's even determined, like, we are the superior being. He's got a very Magneto style. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's a lot more diabolical in how he executes that style. But...
One might even say fucking diabolical.
Yeah. Exactly.
I feel like you gotta save that for Butcher.
Butcher's
fucking diabolical.
Butcher's the best.
Butcher's still
one of the
one.
Greatest characters.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yep. MVP. Still. You can't Butcher.
Well,
just too good.
Well, let's talk about Butcher then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Butcher. What is your thoughts on his arc this season?
The
roller coaster.
The angel and devil. Like the two shoulders.
Like I said, roller coaster of angel and devil. Exactly. He's having a lot of internal conflict, and you know. They keep showing us, like, oh, yeah, Butcher's not so bad. You know, he's going to do the right thing. And then that scene where Ryan finally snaps, kills it, kills Mallory.
Yeah.
I think that was the end. He didn't
care. I think so. Yeah.
He's just like, there's no way out. I can't honor my wife's wishes and keep this kid safe. He's evil. All soups are evil. And I think finally his Kessler side took over finally, and he's just like, yep, I'm gonna get my revenge.
So I watched a YouTube video that explained this, and I think it was with like something that Eric Kripke said, because there was that thought process of, is it just Kessler taking over? And we referenced this scene already, the supernatural ending in the car.
I think these are different.
Is it the same car, by the way? Is it a different car or is it the same car?
No clue.
I didn't pay attention too much to the car, but I just thought supernatural wouldn't happen.
Yeah. either way, they talk about, like, metaphorically, right? Joe Kessler was in the car with him, but he wasn't driving.
Right.
Butcher was driving.
Well, Kessler is Butcher.
Right. But, like, the idea is, like, Kessler is almost another conscious being inside of, but he is like this, the makeup of Butcher.
He's Butcher's evil side, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. But the idea of that, like him driving, is Butcher's in control. Like you were saying with Mallory, Butcher is the one who's doing this.
Right. Butcher's choosing to to let the evil side.
I think that was the difference of this episode, where they're trying to show off at the end there too. Like you're talking about a subtle homage of the Butcher. Instead of knowing between the two, now it's choosing when to do what.
Yeah.
That's where I think his arc is going to come at the end. The right thing and the wrong thing. He's going to do the right thing, do the wrong thing. I can see that coming up. And that's what I thought, kind of what you're thinking, I think, on the same lines. He has them both in there. Now it's determining when you're going to use what, and that's how he killed Newman, was his choice.
Yeah. I do want to say I was right on this. He is this version of this universe's version of Venom. That was one like prediction. Like this seems like it's a Venom thing.
I was thinking honestly that it's literally like superhero cancer.
Yeah,
like it's developed and it's almost like I guess like Venom.
Symbiotic superhero cancer. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's literally like becoming its own sentient being that he can use.
Well, have you watched the Diabolical, the Boys? Mm-hmm. They already did the storyline. I haven't actually watched it from beginning to end. I kind of watched a couple episodes here and there. I don't remember watching this episode. But there is like an episode where they talk about like this lady gets, essentially her cancer gets beat up. Mm. And it like is the same thing happens. And at the end, like she still has superpowers without her cancer. But like she's stronger with it. Mm. So they already done the storyline already.
Okay.
But it's interesting. I like the idea of Butcher not being two-sided. I like the idea of Butcher just being one person and making his decisions. So one thing I've always hated in superhero movies is the Jekyll and Hyde villain. The Spider-Man is like famous for this. Like Sam Raimi. Green Goblin. You know, like, oh, Norman, like, I didn't do this. Or Doc Ock with his arms. Yep. Like, oh, I didn't make the choice. The arms made me. It's like, it kind of kills the agency of the person. Like, I prefer the villains. Like, I know you make fun of Legend of Korra, but the one thing I love about that show is each villain.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Legend of Korra.
What's that?
Anyway. I like the idea of, like, villains who make these extreme choices, but have, like, either their own justification or a valid justification behind it. And I like the idea of Butcher being fully in control rather than this back and forth, because I want Butcher to be this evil, diabolical, like, essentially anti-hero killing these heroes. Because in his mind, he's kind of right.
Yeah, he is.
Let's talk about Ryan. Because they didn't show where Ryan is.
Right, yeah, he just took off after he snapped Mallory's neck.
What do you think's going on in his mind?
I don't know, I hate Ryan. I hate
his character. I hate him as a character.
He's so boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just so whiny. I get he's a kid and he has no idea what's going on and he's being pulled in all these directions, but I hate his character.
I feel like he's every kid, though.
Right.
No, I just hate his character, though. His character is not very... Yeah.
I agree. I agree that his character is kind of meh, but I also think, like, realistically, I feel like he feels real. Because I feel like kids who are pulled in all these directions don't really have a personality of their own until you get older. So I kind of just took
Ryan. I wouldn't mind if Ryan died next season.
I mean, you might get your wish.
Just because it would make sense if to kill the Homelander line, you can't have another Homelander. Someone else take from next. I think they talked about that in season 4 too. Is like when if you just kill Homelander, someone's going to come and take his place.
Well, you know,
and kind of Ryan was being groomed from Homelander. You can kind of see towards the end as the next Homelander if something happened to Homelander. So I was cool. As far as Ryan's character though goes, gosh, it's so awful. I can't either the acting. It's just so whiny.
Yeah, I do like where his character is going, though. I like the idea, because right now he's a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
He, I mean, him and Homelander are probably done, right? Like, is there any mending there?
Maybe.
Possibly.
Him and Butcher are probably...
Well, that's what I think. I think he burnt both bridges, too. Yeah. So it's hopefully he will get some interesting developments as his own individual. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, it's either been Butcher or... Homelander pulling him in either direction, and he basically made his dad mad, made Homelander mad, and pretty much done with him. And then Butcher's done. He just murdered Mallory in front of him and refused to, you know, help or anything like that. So hopefully that means that he's going to have some interesting character development, because right now he just seems like a Nickelodeon star.
Yeah.
Like a child Nickelodeon star.
Yes.
He's like Macaulay Culkin right now, and he's just annoying and he's like that ridiculous preteen pubescent squeak that he always has. I'm just like, ah, stop it.
Or anytime he like speaks up, he's like, stop doing that.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, it sounds so... That was like, acting. It doesn't sound so serious.
Yeah.
When you should be serious. It's a little bit flat.
Just quick predictions. Where do you think he goes? Where do you think his storyline is?
Where is he going right now?
What do you think he'll be doing? Like, what do you think his role is?
I'm hoping ultimate villain.
Ultimate villain?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Butcher gets revenge, but through his revenge causes Ryan to break and become worse than his father was.
I mean, they talked about the boys movie as a finale.
Right. But yeah, that was my thoughts. Like, I hope he becomes the ultimate villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, that'd be cool. Be worth his role.
I think it'd be cool if like the show ended with the big showdown, and our fellow D&D person just showed up. So I don't want to be too spoilerific with it. But the big showdown at the end, I think, is definitely going to happen. But I like the idea of like maybe Ryan becomes that ultimate villain.
No, I'm thinking there's going to be an opposite approach. So you got. We haven't talked about this yet, but Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Soldier Boy, father-son kills father-son kind of deal.
Yeah, could be. There is... So I talked about this with Brandon, too. The idea of, like, heroes. Like, they're being, like...
Kill each other.
Their own seven.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Brandon were talking about... I kind of flipped back and forth, like, two or three times on this. Because when Ryan did this thing where he was, like, you know, had the director slap the... the stage person or the stage person selected director for, you know, doing what he's doing, and he was smiling and like took in that pain. I was like, is he too far gone? Is he too corrupted?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the next episode, he talks about how, or he stood up to Homelander. I'm like, okay, maybe he's saved.
And then this episode. And then he goes the direct opposite again.
And then he's, I'm like, I don't know what's going to, I'm like, is he, morally speaking, he's gone, right?
That's why my money's on ultimate villain.
Yeah.
I think morally speaking, yeah, you can't bring him back. It was almost like yeah, if they do, it's like going to be an accurate scenario all over again.
What if the cancer goes to him instead of Butcher? Because I feel like that could potentially be something, too.
So you're saying in the comics they say that can transfer between people? Like a venom?
Yeah. Potential. That's predictions. A-Train.
He was pretty non-existent the last couple episodes, right?
This episode, he was gone.
Last one? Because he wasn't around at all.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, I was wrong on this. Big wrong. And I'm happy I'm wrong.
What were you wrong about? Oh, that he was going to die?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Tony.
A-Train lives.
Yeah. I was very wrong. I think me and a lot of people are he's dead. He's dead.
You thought, like, all my buddies, Jake, they all thought he was going to die. Well,
I still think he's going to die.
Well, he's probably, he might die, but I think election season, the way his arc was built up, mm-hmm. he's too powerful of a character to die at that moment. Like, there's such a force behind the character that was built mm-hmm. that's super empowering. You can't.
I like the story behind him. You couldn't.
If you would have killed him, that would have been huge. And I think the prowess where people started to love him so much, pushing into the election season, I think you had to keep him alive. Yeah. That was my prediction.
I like after four seasons, they finally showed the Deep as being powerful. When he punched dude's skull straight through, I was like, because the whole time you're just like, oh, he's just a fish man that talks to fish. And then all of a sudden, he just buries his fist through this dude's skull, and you're like, all right, maybe you are actually pretty powerful.
Let's talk about those two, Black Noir and him. Because, I thought Black Noir was out.
Yeah.
And then, the Deep does a speech and apparently convinced him. Mm-hmm. And me and Brandon think there's something more Black Noir than what there is. In the comics, obviously.
He's the Homelander clone or something.
Yeah, that kills Homelander. But in the in the show, he's a completely different character. And now this is the second version, who can fly.
Oh, yep.
And he's super strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, he can talk.
Yeah. So maybe they are going towards the comic book.
His black clone?
Yeah.
Could be. No, it's
Blacklander.
Yeah. I do like what was funny, what's the show called with Sage, A-Train, and Black Noir? Black at it or something?
Black at it.
And they're like, Sage and A-Train are both black, and Black Noir, we kind of assume.
Right.
And I'm like, is he? I don't...
Well, he was. Yeah, because we saw. Technically. Yeah, black at it.
So, but I just think it's crazy that Deep was just like, oh, Ashley's on that list.
I like the fact that he's like, yeah, I got Ashley. He's like, that's the wrong Ashley. As the poor Chinese intern is like skewered with the katana into the wall.
She's not even on the list.
Yeah, she's not even on the list. Oh, shit.
I do love the fact that Ashley relationship ended in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I will say
she got killed because they thought she was the wrong Ashley.
Oh, I can't wait to see what real Ashley is gonna do with V. What's her power?
What do you think her power is?
I don't know. She looks like she turned into a freaking ghoul or something like that. Her skin started melting off and shit.
The actress said that every idea that she pitched was something to do with her emotional state, and it wasn't. It was embarrassing, and it wasn't good in any way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's like, I don't know what it is, but it's not going to be good.
She has turbo BDSM powers or something like that.
I feel like she's going to be in like a bird. That was the idea I got, like bird flight powers.
Yeah.
Like something hideous monster. I don't know.
Goblin.
Do you think she's going to be part of the system, or is she going to be like...
I don't know. It's here to see. I mean, because they wanted to kill her beforehand, so I feel like the fact that she is a soup, the fact that she knows what she knows, I think is going to overpower, so maybe Ashley becomes part of the boys or something. Just a quick, complete role reversal.
Let's talk about the boys, because I feel like the boys are going to become the next, like, the good seven.
Mm.
Maybe not actually seven.
The good seven?
Just the idea of like the rebellion seven.
The real heroes?
Yeah, the actual heroes. A-Train's definitely on that list. Starlight is becoming that hero.
Mm-hmm.
Kimiko is that hero. I also want to mention, I didn't even recognize this at first. She said her first words.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even realize it. I had to replay it.
Was that right at the very end?
Yeah, she screamed no.
Oh, okay.
And I just thought, oh, yeah, this is definitely what you would say. This is, I didn't think anything of it, right?
Yeah.
And then I rewatched it, and I was like, wait,
she spoke.
Well, yeah, you got the highlight of that a couple of episodes ago, because she said she could speak. She just hasn't spoken in a long time. Because of the trauma.
Yeah, it was, physically, she had every capability of speaking. Yep. It's just mentally getting the pathways to actually speak. If you ever look at the science of that, it's interesting.
Hmm.
So it's sure, like, you work in that population, which is a population where kids can't speak,
mm-hmm.
and it's a mixture of two things. Like, you either don't have the neurological pathways to actually be able to speak, or they just haven't developed the ability yet.
Right.
So it is kind of fascinating in that regards. I know we already talked about Newman a little bit. Trying to think what other thing we kind of covered most of it.
MVPs.
Well, we all know it's Butcher. It's not even a question.
Is it Butcher?
Is it? I mean, who else do you put on that?
All right, let's do ratings first. Because if Brandon shows up, because he needs to be part of this. If he's, let's do ratings first.
I'm still sticking to my first four episode one. I'm sticking around the four minus.
Four minus.
Yeah.
I was going to stick around a four. I don't give it quite the four plus or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Or four minus is probably a good one. I like the four minus. I think it seems to fit very well in that kind of category.
What was I, three too plus? Much hard nose
on the you head. Were three plus, four minus range, like I was. We were pretty much both on the dot for the first four episodes.
I don't think I changed it.
Yeah, like I said, nothing that earth-shattering happened as far as the writing or the storylines.
It's been consistent. Yeah.
It's been pretty consistent.
I would say it's slightly less than the other seasons just due to the fact of too much hard nosing sometimes, I think. It was a little bit of the story for me. That's
here's my biggest problem of season four. It wasn't really necessarily the trauma or the Huey. I think the biggest problem is they had so much storylines. Mm-hmm. This is what I acolyte to, and I technically recorded a TikTok on this. I didn't post it yet. The idea of like both the acolyte and the boys end with a really cool image, with a really cool idea. And I say the boys did a lot better than the acolyte. But I think what the boys did, they tried too hard to get to that spot, right? And it's a really cool spot where they got to. But I feel like in order to get from where they were in season three to season five was a lot. And I feel like they cut out a ton.
Yeah.
Like Annie and Huey's relationship was like non-existent. This whole...
They mentioned it like weirdly, oddly, it's out of place a couple times just to keep it showing that it's there.
But... Yeah. Otherwise, there's other parts of the boys where they're like talking together and it's so choppy.
Mm-hmm.
They cut out a lot. And I'm like, I really think this should have been two seasons.
Probably.
And I think that it should have been spread out more. I'm in favor of shows cutting it or essentially ending earlier than later, because I think I would rather have a quality than quantity. But I think in this regard, like the where they totally should have.
Well, I think they had a lot of storylines they had going into it, too.
Yeah, so it seemed rushed.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's probably why I didn't rate it higher, is because there was a lot of holes that were just kept open that didn't really get any explanation of what's happening. So
I will say that they did a good job at the end cleaning up some of the storylines. Problem solved.
Turn on the mic. Tell me your rating for season four. No.
Absolutely not.
No, turn on the mic first.
No, you have to do this.
We have a special guest here, ladies and gentlemen. It is. Well,
I don't have a middle name.
I just queued you up.
Middle name for you, Brandon.
Wow, you don't know my middle name.
Brandon Quick Trip Klein. It says it on the shirt.
All right, ratings.
As a whole.
As a whole.
I mean, it's probably overall like the weakest season out of the four, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's terrible by any means. You know, something's got to be the worst. So I mean, a solid 3+, 4, probably more towards a 4-.
All right, we're all on the same
point. Literally, literally all said the exact same thing. Yeah.
MVP, give us like your top three.
I mean, A-Train is probably the MVP of the season.
Butcher.
Yeah. Unbelievable, chooses A-Train. A-Train was great.
I'm happy you showed up, because like, I was like, I gotta wait for Brandon, because like, me and you did the last three episodes.
Yeah.
They were saying Butcher, and I'm like, internally, I'm like, A-Train. Yeah. I'm like, where's Brandon on us?
Oh, you guys like to hear arcs.
Well, you remember who my favorite superhero is, right?
Your favorite superhero of all time?
Punisher.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I like Butcher.
You're a vigilante style person.
I'm a vigilante superhero.
I like the vigilante.
Butcher is definitely the MVP of the show, like more than likely, right? I just think for this season alone, I don't think the Butcher storyline was the greatest of all the storylines, and I really like Adrian's story. Yeah.
He had a good redemption arc.
A-Train has a great story, but I will say Butcher just has the scenes that he's in is just more powerful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Carl Urban is fucking...
Carl Urban, he nailed it.
It's fucking diabolical.
It's fucking diabolical.
Yeah, we started this. We started the cold open just throwing the C word around.
Oi.
So
can you go change your shirt now?
Yeah, you can go change.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Brandon. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. I think it's A-Train.
Yeah, fair.
I can
he's got the best... He's definitely the best redemption arc out of there.
He's better than a deep...
right? Yeah, no. We kind of saw Deep like creeping, and then we're just like, oh no, he's a piece of shit still.
He got called a superior being, and he's like, all right, that's what I am.
I am the superior being. The only reason why I like Butcher's story in general is because like they not only like they like put it on the nose. They like literally gave him the angel and the devil, and you just saw more facets of Butcher.
Yeah.
That he actually has, which I don't think in any other season you've really seen that like good side of Butcher to that extent. I mean, they hint at it here and there, and you see certain stuff, but in general, Butcher is the vigilante. Yeah. He's the guy that cracks skulls.
In the rewatch, I will say they just watching all season 1 through 3, not so much the first season. Second season, a lot. They dive into Butcher and what makes Butcher tick. Mm-hmm. And they do it in such a subtle way. Yeah. So you do see those sides.
I mean, they talk about his brother and his dad and that relationship and that sort of stuff. So you do see the softer side, and then you see the comparison to Huey and what, Lenny?
What's his? Yeah, Lenny. I'm pretty sure it's Lenny.
But yeah, his little brother. So yeah, but I don't know. They just like literally represented it. Mm-hmm. With physical actors in the scenes with him, and I thought it was a good, I just liked it.
I do like his story.
And plus, I love Negan. I don't know, what's the dude's actual
Jeffrey
name?
Jeffrey D. Morgan.
Jeffrey D. Morgan.
Oh, he's great. He is the greatest tough dude ever.
I almost wish it wasn't that role.
Yeah.
It feels like a small role for him.
It is.
It is a small role for him, but he does such a good tough dude character that way.
He does. He does.
I will say the one thing that I do like about the Butcher and characters like that is kind of like Andor, the same thing. You got to do what's necessary sometimes. And a character that has that necessary factor and not really, it's always fluffy butterflies and unicorns that poop rainbows and stuff like that. Having a character that actually has to do the necessary thing for some reason attracts me like a vigilante.
Yep.
What do you say at the end?
Is you're more appealing.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're fucking welcome. I just like how he rocks in and just like ruins everything. Because like do you think Huey's plan would have worked?
Could have.
I feel like he had a really good plan.
Yeah. I was thinking like, oh man, this is going to be a good arc for season 5. And then all of a sudden like that arc literally got torn in half. I'm like, oh, well, okay. About that.
Yeah. All right, what's while we wrap this up, Randy, you can join too. What is the one thing you're really looking forward to? Like the one, either the one thing you're looking forward to, or the one thing you want to see.
Soldier Boy, that's on their life.
What do I want to see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I really want to see is firecrackers cans. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
You've been waiting the whole time, right?
Yeah, and it just never happened.
I never asked you about your opinion of that scene. Like, were you in heaven? Like, were you Homelander there?
I mean,
because you were talking about how you really enjoyed her.
I liked her costume. You know, her costume and her assets a lot. Maybe it was just the corset or something like that. A side note: did you guys hear the whole thing about like how everyone was just shitting on Aaron Moriarty? For like the whole season, they're like, oh, like look at her plastic surgery and shit, and everyone's just like, oh, whatever, you know, this is terrible. And then her ass shows up on camera, and everyone's like, we like Aaron Moriarty.
Yep.
Which I agree with.
Ooh, can we talk about Sorley real quick? Because I want to give her credit, Aaron Moriarty, because that scene between her and her doppelganger was amazing.
Yeah,
the doppelganger version of her, because like I'm like, damn,
it showed some range.
Like, this is good. Like, she pulled the evil person. And I really like the idea of, like, the dialogue where, like, every person I take, like, control of, every piece of shit person that I become, I get their memories, they all think they're justified. Mm-hmm. Every fucking one of you. And I'm like, I like that. Mm-hmm. I just like that quote, because, like, that is how people work. Like,
exactly.
They can be a complete piece of shit, but, like, in their mind, they're right.
Yeah.
So... I just want to bring that up.
But in reality, I want to see a Butcher and Homeland showdown. That's really what I want. It needs to happen. If it doesn't, I will be so disappointed. If he dies some other way other than by Butcher's hands, I'm going to be so disappointed.
I agree.
I want to see the Boys 7. I want to see them working as a team. I want to see superheroes the way they're supposed to be. Yeah. I'm going to go to the bright side. Like, I'm not saying
that. I want them all dead.
I'm not saying that.
Team Butcher all the way, baby.
Yep, more Butcher hitting people with tire irons.
Well, I mean, like, imagine, like, A-Train, Starlight, Kimiko, whoever, Ashley, whoever joins, like, the boys, even Ryan, come in, they save the day, and then Butcher just comes in and murders A-Train. Like, I don't know. I think that'd be just, like, a kind of, like, a, hey, A-Train, you're doing a great job. Dead. He's a fucking soup.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I want to see that specifically.
So, Butcher kills all the soups. Does he off himself at the end?
Soldier Boy kills Ryan. Butcher kills Homelander.
It's just all sorts of fratricide and grandpa-side.
Yeah, what happens to Soldier Boy? Is he
nothing. He wasn't a problem. Yeah. I mean, he goes back in the ice.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't a problem because he was frozen, but I mean, he was kind of a problem when he was alive.
I don't think he'd be Homelander. I don't think he'd be Homelander.
No, he's much more like a small scale, but that doesn't mean...
That's what I'm saying. He'll take out Ryan,
yeah.
And then Butcher will take out Homelander. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing wrong with that.
All right. Well, I think we got some D&D to play, so thank you, Tom, DMT, Chatfield, nerdier than you are. Donald. Mario. Don, don't be a cunt.
Johnson. Don, be a cunt.
And Brandon, late to the party, but I'm happy you're here. Klein. And Tony, he's on the couch.
Tony in the background, Bergland.
Yeah. All right, we are.
The silent partner.